Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20 to 33, and I shall read this passage of scripture. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth a voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. God bless the reading of his holy, infallible, and inerrant word.
Well, I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is my joy to share God's word with you this morning. Please keep your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Now in life we make choices, and there are so many choices we have to make. Some choices will lead to the terrible consequences, but some choices we made will lead to good results. Now this is our human responsibility. And as Calvinists, now we all are Bible-believing Christians, we know that the sovereignty of God works very much in our lives. That nothing happened by chance. Nothing happened by accident. And so everything in our life is already predetermined by God. And yet there is this human responsibility that we are to make choices. And so today we are confronted with a question. Is fearing God your choice? And so we shall learn from this passage from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33. Now, why Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, now speak of wisdom as a beautiful woman to behold? Now, this is a very effective way to communicate a message effectively, powerfully, describing an abstract term as a person. Look at verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the street. And so it is available to all. It is done in public. It is not hidden. It is audible to all who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, have you ever come across some people who will knock on your door, who have some secret to tell you? Try this product. It will make all your pimples go away. Or try this health product. It is 100 years of investigation and research that within 1 week after taking this supplement, you will lose weight as much as 10 kg. Have you ever come across such secret that is revealed to you by some man whom you have not met and you do not know? Well, I have. Or is it only me who have all these people knocking on my door? Well, I hope you have met them. Now, if what they are saying is the truth, now why is it a secret? Why is it not made publicly if it is so good? And so we ought to think about what kind of a message they are bringing to us. We ought not to be so gullible to accept everything that they say. Everybody ought to know, isn't it? If something is really very good, and so that's why we share the gospel, because we know that it is good. We know that it is the only way that man to receive salvation. Now, groups that are secret often operate in darkness, such as secret societies, mystic groups, cults. They all operate in darkness, and very often you can't locate them. And sometimes they dress in white or in black, and their room is most likely to be black or very dark. Now, true wisdom will have nothing to do with that which is in darkness. True wisdom will call out in public because it has nothing to be ashamed of. True wisdom. Now, where can this call of wisdom be heard? We read on in verses 20 and 21. She uttered her voice in the street, not in the back lane or in some empty lane, but the main street, the busiest street. She cried in the chief place of concourse. A concourse is a place where multitude of people meet together. And so in the opening of gates, to and fro people come in and out, where all the people are there. And in the city, she uttered her words. And so in other words, wisdom called out to where the people were. Not to the animals, not to the plant, not to the mountain, but to the people who are in great need of wisdom and the fear of God, that they may turn to the Savior. Now, why must wisdom shout and cry? Why can't wisdom whisper? Or just send some written notes? Or just throw it on the floor, anyone who can pick it up? Why must wisdom shout and cry? You mean people do not know the obvious presence of wisdom? You mean people do not have the wisdom at all to run their own life? Now, of course, people have wisdom. So at our technology today, so advanced, so at all the buildings, so creative, all the infrastructure, so complicated, and yet it can be done. So at the library, and all the books, so profound. So wisdom can be found anywhere, so at the roads, so at the underground pipes, under the roads, or a computer that spills up information after information through the internet. And all these are the wisdom. How can we say there is no wisdom? Or what kind of a wisdom is that? That is not true wisdom. That is wisdom from man. And true wisdom can only be found in the only wise God, the God of the Holy Scriptures, the only source of all wisdom, and that is God. And this wisdom, thank God, it is easily accessible to you and I. Why? Because otherwise there is no need for wisdom to cry out if it is not available. But why is there really a need to shout? Now we can understand why sometimes teachers are so frustrated in their own classes, especially classes of rowdy students, why they need to shout. And then we can understand why. Because the people are not paying attention enough. People are ignoring the wisdom that is before them. Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Now, God's wisdom does not appeal to the foolish, to the scorner, and to the foolish. It is simply not attractive to them. To them it is foolishness. To believe in the gospel is foolishness. You mean I have to give up everything that I own? You mean I have to give up my own life and to follow Christ? Only the cross and the world behind me? Oh, to them it is foolishness. Now why is simple included in this category? I thought simple is a good thing. One who is simple is easily contented. One who is simple is not one who always scheme, devise wicked plans, and to work out advantages for himself. So I thought to be simple is actually a good thing. But what Solomon referring here is simplicity in the bad sense. A very bad sense. Have you ever come across some people who are so contented with who they are and have? That so much so that you are so annoyed, that you are so sure that something is wrong with them some way, somehow. Now you don't have to go very far to learn about the different cultures, the different languages that we find in other different countries. Right in FEBC, we have many nationalities. And so I thank God for the experience that I had more than 10 years ago. I stayed in FEBC for 4 years. And so I met many nationalities. And there was one particular incident that actually made me feel very disgusted. Now I believe that it is only that particular incident. And so I had this Burmese student, classmate. Now he had this one habit. He liked to wear the sarong. Now there's nothing wrong in wearing sarong. So if those of you who are wearing sarong at home, please continue to wear your sarong. Now so this Burmese classmate of mine, he liked to wear sarong. Now the problem with him is not wearing sarong, he has other sarong. But he only wears one sarong. One and only sarong. He has many others, but he just loves this one. And so I asked him, do you wash your sarong? So he replied and said, oh yes, sometimes. Sometimes once a week, sometimes once a month, but sometimes never wash. So it depends. So okay, I just take it as it is what he said to me. But after weeks, I saw him wearing the same sarong. But this time it is different. Because as he passed by me, there was a very strong smell. And so it's not very usual. And so I asked him, brother, it is time to wash your sarong. Because I know that it is the sarong that is giving a very strong smell. And so he just gave me a smile. And he just walked off. And after weeks, I believe he didn't wash his sarong. And the smell got stronger and stronger. So I asked the other Burmese student, because I thought maybe this is culture, so I did not offend him. So I asked the other Burmese brethren, who are also studying there. But they all don't have this smell. They all wash their sarong daily. And so it is only this Burmese brother who has this problem. He is just too happy with what he is, very happy with the smell, very happy with the one and only sarong that he loves to wear. But it is a good simplicity. It is not. Now there are some people who like to live simply, and that's not wrong. But it can be wrong when the simplicity leads to such that make them walk on the wrong way. Have you ever come across people who are so simple that they don't believe in God? Because they believe that God is very complicated. And so they prefer to have religion free. And sometimes even friends free, because the more friends you have, the more problems that you have. And so there are people like that. who like simplicity, but it is simplicity in the wrong way. And so Solomon cried out to them, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Now remember the verse that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It is godliness first. Contentment is not the main thing. Godliness is the main thing. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And so you cannot have contentment without godliness. Some people love simplicity, contentment with their own lives, but all in the wrong way. Why? Because they don't have godliness. So how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Seek after wisdom. Come to the Savior. Trust in Him. And your simplicity will be right in the eyes of God. It will be made right. How about the scorners? Now John Bunyan wrote about the scorners in his famous book, in Pilgrim's Progress. And the scorners are found in this person called atheist. And atheist simply loves to make fun of Christians. And when Christians come with his countenance very sad, very frightened because of the coming judgment of God, atheists laugh at him, mock at him, scorn at him. And atheists can't be bothered with the coming judgment of God. And so this is exactly the picture of scorners. They can't be bothered with God and all the spiritual things. They just love themselves. They are strangers to the wisdom of God completely. Then we come to the foolish also, making all the wrong choices, walking in all the wrong paths. Those who have actually counted the cost, but still choose to walk on the wrong path. Is that not foolishness? Now, not many people are ignorant of the truth. They know the truth, but they refuse to walk at the right path. Now, we are told by foreign countries that Singaporeans are living in a very fine country. F-I-N-E, very fine. Fine for littering, fine for spitting, fine for speeding, illegal parking, fine for smoking in places that you ought not to. Fine! Because all these are very good measures to prevent those who keep on breaking the law to stop by imposing a fine. But I tell you, did all those people who are fine really learn the lesson? I'm afraid not. They feel pain in the heart, not because of the wrong thing that they have done. They feel pain in the heart because of the fine. Wow, $500 for smoking in the lift. They feel the pain of this $500 loss. Not because it is wrong to smoke in the lift, that it will endanger the lives of the people who are in the lift. And so you see the problem. Is that not foolishness? Because the people have not really learned. Well, the church is no better. It might be worse, for all we know. How do I know this? I like to communicate with church cleaners, especially on Monday. So you ask them, how is your work? Well, they will complain to you, all kinds of things. What the worshippers will leave behind at the sanctuary. And you may be shocked to find out what are some of these things that can be found in the sanctuary after a Sunday service. Cut fingernails. Bright skin, soiled tissues, sweet wrappers, Bibles, weeklies, all lying on the floor or on the pews, all left behind by worshippers. And that's not all. The toilet, it is a total disaster. Now, I'm not saying that we are to aim for six-star toilets like Kelvy Tinger. Have you ever been to Kelvy Tinger? Well, they have a six-star toilet. The moment you enter in, you don't mind staying a bit longer in there. Just to enjoy the atmosphere, the ambience. If there's a sofa in there, well, excellent. I think you will sit there and have a book and you can read comfortably. So I pray that the church will not have to roster cleaners on Sunday at the toilet. And that's what Changi Airport did. Right? That's why the toilet is so clean, so dry, and so comfortable. But it is God's church. How can that happen to God's church? How can we tolerate uncleanness in the church of God? And that's what we did. And so we actually have a bad testimony to the church cleaners, because they are the ones who are going to clear up the mess after the church service. Do we not all have the responsibility to take care of God's church? Now, wisdom points the simple, the scorners, the foolish to a spiritual experience. Verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. True wisdom will turn away the wisdom of the world. For the wisdom of the world knows nothing of God's wisdom. And so indeed, the wisdom of the Lord is what we need. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Do you know God? If you truly know Him, you will fear Him. You will obey Him. You will love Him. It is a fear that will drive you near to God. And when we are confronted with the attack of atheism, materialism, all the philosophies of life, of the world, we don't have to kowtow to them. We stand straight because of the truth, because of God's word, because of the faith that God has put in our heart. We will stand firm. You may not think that evolution is the way to believe that how God is being or how the world is being created. But that does not mean that you naturally or automatically believe that God is the creator. You must confess that God is indeed the creator of heaven and the earth. You may reject evolution, but that's not enough. You must embrace the belief that God is the creator of heaven and the earth. Why? Because you cannot sit on the fence. There are those who try to please both sides. Reconcile evolution and God together. Will it work this way? No. That is foolishness. Reject evolution, come and believe in the God who has saved you. The same creator of heaven and the earth is also the one who offered salvation for you through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have to choose between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. You choose. It is a choice that you have to make. But as good as God's wisdom can be, not everyone go after it. Verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Now God always wants to give us something that we truly need. Things that will help in our spiritual life. Things that will give us true peace and rest of our souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what God desires us to have. But we don't want. We always run for those things, towards those things which we do not need. And Satan has succeeded. He wants us to have those things that does not benefit us. And not only does not benefit us, it will lure us away from God. Wisdom has to raise her voice to offer to us the evidence of God's wisdom, of God's grace, of God's love. But we have ignored them. And perhaps we have taken for granted. It is right before us. We did not cherish it. We continue to live our lives as if there is no God. Well, at least there is a God on Sunday. But from Monday to Saturday, there is no God. Are we living life like this? Because apart from divine wisdom, what else can we know? We have no answers to the many questions of our lives. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? What is life? Is there life beyond the grave? Is there really a God? Can God be made known? Now all these answers are found in the Holy Scriptures that God Himself has answered for you and I completely, perfectly, without any mystery. But have you listened? Why are you not listening? Or do you prefer foolish answers? I tell you, there are plenty out there in the world. Plentiful. Wisdom continues to stand and call out to you. But have you ignored it? And not only ignored, have you despised wisdom? Look at verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Now when God's word points blankly that we have sinned against God, what is the first reaction? I think very often we try to justify. We try to escape. We dare not face up to the truth. That's us. Instead of repenting and confessing our sins right away. Remember Cain? Wisdom was urging Cain not to carry on his wrong way anymore. The sin offering was at the doorstep, and so all he needs to do is to obey wisdom. Take the sin offering and offer to God, and all will be well. But Cain rejected wisdom. He ran away from wisdom. In anger, taking vengeance upon Abel, murdered him, and he became an outcast from his own family. And he went out of the presence of God. Now that is foolishness. That is what sin will lead you to, foolishness. Now sin will never lead us to something that is good. That is for sure. You may think that it is good, but it is no good. Because God knows. To walk in the way of a sinner is to the way of destruction. And so that's what sin will lead you. Do you think sin will have a final laugh? Look at verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. And that is wisdom. Wisdom will laugh at the calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Now it is more logical that wisdom should have the final laugh. Because that is God's wisdom. God's wisdom prevails. And it is most logical that wisdom to laugh at foolishness. It is not evil, but most pure and genuine. It is a laugh with a great pain that is felt inside. Why do you not follow wisdom? Why are you still embracing foolishness? Now, God is not happy when you follow after foolishness. God is hurting inside. How do I know? If you turn with me to Ezekiel 33 verse 11. When sinful men refuse to repent, that is how God felt in his heart. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11. God told prophet Ezekiel to say, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, turn ye." What a cry. "Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" That's the heart of God. Each time you sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the heart of God. And so each time before you sin, think, pray, and don't commit it. Because it will grieve the Holy Spirit of promise that is within you. It is not enjoying the pleasures of the many multitudes that will be perishing in the lake of fire. And so don't reject God's wisdom, because God's wisdom will lead us to the life everlasting. It may be narrow, it may be very hard, it may be a road that few will want to travel in, but that is the road that leads to life. Many will want to cross over to the Broadway. Very easy, very comfortable, very attractive. And you have many companions walking down the Broadway. But that's the way to destruction, to death. Now the result of despising wisdom is found in verse 27. "When your fear cometh as desolation," turn back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 27. "When your fear cometh as desolation," this fear comes suddenly and violently. Desolation. Now one can be in foolishness for a long time and yet nothing happened to him. It doesn't mean that he is okay. He is not okay. Because verse 27 will apply. The sudden effect of the sin will come in such that you will not be prepared for it. It will come so suddenly that you are caught red-handed, exposed, shame. Now you remember Lot and his family. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. In other words, he inclined his heart towards that sinful city. No doubt very comfortable, a very good life, materially well provided, but morally, spiritually, it is a total disaster. Now, Lot could have left that sinful city, but he didn't. So much so that the angels have to force by pulling his hand and his family along. No time for anything else. No time to pack. You just have to run. Run for safety. And so fear comes suddenly. Are you waiting to be caught? Some people like to hide behind. Oh, as long as I'm not caught. No, just like speeding on the expressway. We like to look at the rear mirror just to make sure that the traffic police is not behind us. But we continue to zoom beyond 100. That's us. Don't wait until you're caught. Fear will come suddenly. Before you know it, the traffic police is behind you. Or the speed camera has taken a very nice photo of your car. Now this is a very different fear we see in verse 7 as well in verse 29. Verse 7 and verse 29 talks about the fear of the Lord. And it is a fear that is reverential. It is a good fear because it is a fear that drives us to God. But the fear we see in verses 26 and 27, it is a bad fear. It is a terrible fear. It is a fear that makes you shiver. It is a fear that you wish that you will never be born to face such a terrible judgment. But you have no choice. And this fear will fill you with terror because you have rejected wisdom. And so either way you will have the fear. Which fear will you choose? The fear of evil or the fear of the Lord? Now verse 27 continues, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. It's very fast, no time to wait. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, all the emotional and mental turmoil, disappointment, depression, despair, discouragement. And so it is a total, complete disaster and terrible feeling that we felt inside here. Now by the time you come to such a state, you're already very desperate. Very desperate. And what will you do when you're desperate? Ah, then now you look for help. You look for some comfort. And you want to look for wisdom. But will you find it? Verse 28. Then shall they call upon me. Now they took pain to seek after wisdom, because now they know they are wrong. They have followed the wisdom of the world and now they realize that they are wrong. But what did wisdom say? But I will not answer. When wisdom first called, they rejected, they ignored, they refused to follow. But now it is the turn of wisdom to say, I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Well, if they seek early, then it is something good, isn't it? Now, they seek early doesn't mean wisdom has to accept them. Why didn't they accept in the first place? They seek early means the urgency of it. That moment they realize they are so desperate, they immediately seek for wisdom. But it's too late. As early as they can be, it is too late. Why? Because they procrastinate in the beginning, they ignore in the beginning, they rejected it in the beginning. Now they realize they are wrong, they don't have it because it is too late. Well, my wife was driving me home, or was driving home after fetching me to airport, my last mission trip to Cambodia. And so along the ECP, she doesn't know that there was a ERP, and then the cash card in the IU was already running low, insufficient value. But by the time she realized it is too late. She panicked, but what can she do? And so you got a fine, $12. You feel the pain. At that time it is too late to go to top up the card. So we just have to bear the consequence. Now just $12, we feel the pain. What's more for our eternal destiny? When you end up in the lake of fire, just like the rich man cried out to Abraham. It is too late to cry out to Abraham, to cry out to God. It is simply too late. Seek wisdom from God, my friend, not the world. The world can give you all kinds of wisdom that may make your life better. But that is all. God's wisdom will lead you to eternity. And don't play a fool with God. God's wisdom is the wisdom that will make you wise unto salvation. And so, because of this wisdom, you will not take Him for granted. You will fear Him. And the more you fear Him, the more you love Him. The more you obey Him faithfully. Now, who are those who reject wisdom? We are reminded again by Solomon, verses 29 and 30. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Now, in FBC, we learn of true wisdom that consists of two things. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of self, and that is from John Calvin. So the more you know about God, the more you know about man, that is true wisdom. It is good to have all other knowledge, such as geography, science, technology, language, but nothing can compare with this highest form of knowledge, the knowledge of God and man. Dr. William Neufeld of Yale University has said, a knowledge of the Bible without a college education is better than a college education without the Bible. And so we thank God that we have the Holy Scriptures in our hands. It is not for us to go around, carry a big fat Bible, but it is for us to open up and read it, study it, enjoy it, obey it, eat it, of course not physically, but spiritually, that it will bring good to our soul that is dying, hungering, thirsting. Do something good to your spiritual body through God's will. Now we come to the conclusion of chapter 1 with three exhortations from wisdom. And all began with the letter R. Verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And so the first is reaping. You reap what you have sown. This is most logical and most biblical. Now, one good example is the Sabbath rest for the land. The Israelites reap the consequences for not heeding to the Mosaic law of resting the land on the Sabbath. And 1 year in seven had to be set aside for a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. And you can read that according to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 4. And so according to this law, the land was not to be plowed on. The land is to be laid in complete rest. And the breaking of this law would call for God to judge and to bring the land into desolation. Now this giving the land a rest is also sound agricultural law as well. Farmers today achieve similar objectives by rotating crops to be grown in the same plot of land. But however, this practice is dying because of greed. Why should the land be laid to rest while I can just simply grow more crops year after year? And so greed came in. But you can never outbid the wisdom of God. God has a good purpose why that land must be rested. And so you can imagine the kind of food that we're eating today. Could it be just a little better than junk? Or because the land was not rested accordingly? The land worked too hard, so much so that less and less nutrients. And so God is all wise to call for the people to give the land a proper rest. And then with the land that is resting, what will the people be doing? They are also resting, both physical as well as spiritual. While the land is put to rest, the people have time, more time, to seek the Lord, to seek the truth, to learn God's word. It is a Sabbath year unto the Lord, a wonderful year of resting, both for the people and for the land. But you see, today, Singaporeans are also workaholics. If possible, you will work 7 days a week. Very hard life. Why? For the sake of a better life, a better education for our children. But have you chosen the fear of the Lord? Is not God our God? Is not God our God of our life, of our children, of our family? Surely He is. Surely He will provide. But if we choose the fear of the Lord, God will honor you. And you will have all the spiritual blessings to enjoy. And what happened to the Israelites? Did they obey continuously? No. They disobeyed. They thought they are wiser than God. Why put the land to rest when I can make money out of it? God watched the folly of His own people, breaking the Sabbath day. The God had to remind them by bringing flood, famine, drought, and finally, God had to bring in the Babylonians, the Assyrians, to make the land truly laid to waste, according to what God has warned them. And so that is the consequence for disobeying God. Do you still want to disobey God? All you need to do is just to keep on following the wisdom of the world. You have to drop out of church altogether. You have to burn the Bible in order to incur the wrath of God. All you need to do is just reject wisdom, reject the fear of the Lord, choose the world, still come to church, and equally, you will still be rejected by God. Verse 32. So we have the word reaping. Second is retribution in verse 32. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. This is the law of retribution. You obey, you live. You disobey, you die. And so you'll be punished if you keep rejecting God and His wisdom. The simple rejects wisdom only to find wisdom rejects him in the end. So the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. Remember the prodigal son in his riotous living until he became very poor? That is divine retribution. May this not happen to any one of us. Repent and stop sinning. And so we have reaping, we have retribution, and finally we have resting. So two negatives, and the last one is a positive one. Verse 33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The word evil here refers to the breaking up of that which is good and honorable. It refers to the corruption and wickedness. That has been seen in the days of Noah. It was a world full of knowledge, but utterly devoid of God's wisdom. A world that followed the way of Cain. And so Noah is an example to us who dwell safely. When he built the ark is a symbol of Christ. And so when the flood came, the whole world was flooded, but Noah and his family dwelt safely, peacefully, and resting in that ark. Now, do you know that Noah has the fear of God in his heart? Now, just turn with me to the last verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. This will be our conclusion. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Now, this is the same word equivalent to the Hebrew word for fear of God. A reverential fear. Okay, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so truly the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The generations of the days of Noah, perhaps thinking that it is so foolish to build an ark on dry land. But that foolishness is the wisdom of God that proven otherwise. All the men around Noah, were they not warned? Surely they are warned. Day in, day out, they saw the ark, but they only saw foolishness. But Noah and his family, they saw wisdom of God. Today, it is the same thing. God is not going to judge the world by punishing the world with the global flood anymore. No more by water, but this time will be by fire. It will be a flood of fire. But it is still the same ark that we have to come into. The Lord Jesus Christ is that ark who can give us safety and peace and rest. Will you come? God has given up His only begotten Son that you and I we receive the redemption by the sinless sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross. You and I are reconciled to God forever and ever, dwelling in safety and in peace. Will you come? May we choose to fear God by drawing near to Him. May God help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this fear of the Lord that drives us to Thee. For we know that Thou hast the words of wisdom to lead us in our life, not to destroy us, but that we might dwell safely in peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, not to reject wisdom, the divine wisdom from Thy Word and from the Holy Spirit. Help us to embrace and to cherish this wisdom, that our lives may bring glory to Thy holy name. Help us, O Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.